If you remember, and I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you if you remember, but Sunday we preached on, do you value your salvation? And it seems like a simple question, of course, but sometimes we may say with our lips that we thank the Lord and appreciate salvation, but we don't demonstrate it with our outward life by giving ourselves over to Him who saved us from our sins. And so we talked a little bit about that Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon we talked about troublesome times. Troublesome times are here, the time of falling away. And that's kind of been in this past year has been more, well, since COVID in general, I have been thinking a lot about end times and the Lord coming back and not setting dates or over-emphasizing expectations of when. I just know it's going to happen. I believe it's going to be soon, relatively as far as our life has been so far. And, you know, wanting to be ready and wanting to be steadfast, knowing we're going to answer to Him. Even though we're saved, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're going to answer for how we value our salvation and what we did to work out of our own salvation. Did that salvation motivate us to work and serve Him? And I believe that how we consider the end time as far as fretting and worrying and being distraught, depressed and discouraged and doubting, I believe sometimes it's, we're going to answer for that. Why did you doubt me? I told you I was going to be with you always, even to the end of the age, and take care of you and provide for you the things that you need, not necessarily things that you want. Although I think our God is gracious and gives us a lot that we want, even though we don't deserve it. But tonight we're going to talk about, do you value the truth? And I think it goes along with the ideal of value in our salvation, because we can't know the true meaning of salvation, how to be saved and why we were saved and who saved us and for what purpose He saved us, unless we value the truth of God's Word that tells us those things. And it's only in God's Word that we can truly find the truth of this. And we'll see that tonight, I hope, as we get through this. But let's just start with Proverbs 23 and verse 23. He says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And those go together, wisdom and instruction, being instructed on what to do, wisdom on knowing how to do it, and understanding why we do that. And again, it's the truth of God's Word that tells us about that. I'm afraid that in front of many of churches today in our time, there is symbolically, allegorically, there is a sign out front. It says, truth for sale, cheap. And the Lord tells us to buy the truth, which means to obtain it, to get it, and not to sell it. Don't sell it not. But I believe that there are many in our faith and fellowship even, I think, at times, and around the world. And I believe there are a lot of churches that are selling out the truth for various reasons, for convenience sake, to go along to get along, and not to offend anyone, to tolerate one another, and tolerate the world, and tolerate what's going on in the world. And so they will sell the truth. They'll give up the truth. They'll put it on the back burner, and they'll not emphasize the truth to people in these circumstances. And it's true in our churches as well. There's a tendency of the Lord's churches to want to have unity at the expense of truth. Let's get along. Let's just have a great time together and fellowship and just have a good time. But we don't agree, so let's just put aside those things we don't agree on. Well, if they weren't important, God wouldn't have put them in His Word. And He wants us to hold to them. And He tells us, you know, that the truth will set us free. And that's what I want to just kind of encourage you in. I know you believe the truth and you've stood for the truth, obviously, and endeavored, even with a small number where it can be easily to get discouraged and doubt. You haven't sold the truth just to get numbers in the church, just to grow and compromise. And many churches have done that. They found out that if they just quit preaching against this or against that, or if they just quit preaching that at all, then people would come in because it was easier to set under that type of lackadaisical preaching. So we want to talk about that. that truth and how important it is in, as far as wisdom and instruction and understanding. These are virtual things that we ought to value, put a great value on, buy the truth and sell it. Not that the insinuation here is no matter what is offered you, don't sell it. Don't sell the truth. Hold on to it. Just like you would a precious heirloom, something that's very precious to you that you love and that you cherish. And you wouldn't sell it for anything. Somebody might come up and say, boy, I'll buy that from you. No, that's not for sale. I've got things for sale, but that is not for sale. That is precious to me. And that's the way the truth should be. Now, obviously, we don't sell the truth for money, but we understand money's power and purchasing and different things. And so we can associate that with the allegory of the truth that we want to hold to. So first of all, buy the truth. It speaks of its value. If you're going to buy something, it's a thought here. I think it's inferred here by the wise man Solomon, who God gifted with great wisdom. He's saying here, buy the truth. He means get the truth. Of all the things that you can get, all the things that you can buy, make sure that you have enough left over to buy the truth. Now, we spend money on a lot of things, and we do a lot of things. We invest our time and our talent and our treasure, even our temple, our body. We invest it to get certain things, and at the same cost of truth, when we should make sure that truth is the most valuable thing. We want to have that. We want to have the truth of God's word, because the truth will truly set us free. Set us free from our sin, set us free from worry and doubt. It'll give us that peace that passes all understanding we talked about Sunday, and give us that confidence that we have in God, because God is true. Jesus is true. The Holy Spirit is true. And we can trust what they say. And there's a lot of precious promises about truth in the Bible. So get it. Buy the truth at all cost. Now, to do that, you have to, if you want something, you have to buy it. You have to pay for it. There's a cost involved. And we're going to think about that for a few minutes. If we're going to have the truth, there's a cost involved. It doesn't come without a cost. And as I mentioned some of these things, you will begin to see a little bit of that thought of the cost involved when you acquire the truth. Pay for the truth. What is it? What do you pay for it with? What does it cost you to have the truth? And so sometimes the truth will cost you friendships. These are intangible objects, not money necessarily, but sometimes when you make a stand for the truth, it'll cost you a friend. When you make a stand God's word and the truth, the absolute truth, and we're going to talk a little bit about absolute truth, which of course I believe is absolute. There is an absolute truth. It doesn't change. It's God's word, and what he says is true. There's no variance in it. It's not based upon situation, ethics, or time, or any of that. It's just true. It's God's truth. And so, sometimes when you believe that, you'll lose friends over it. Because you have a stand and you won't partake of certain worldly activities. They won't party in a certain way or go maybe to some place that is not proper for anybody to go to, but especially a Christian. And so that your friend will become upset with you. And if you're going to be like that, then you're not going to be my friend anymore. And sometime we have to be willing to buy the truth at the cost of and lose that friendship, because truth is more important than that friendship. Now, I'm not saying that we should get rid of a friend for just any reason, but if it's a choice between believing the truth and practicing the truth and preaching the truth, or this friendship, buy the truth. Sell it not, even at the cost of a friend. Sometimes the truth will cost you family. Sometimes, because you make a stand on the truth, you believe what the Word of God says, and it's contrary to what family members believe, sometimes our own children, sometimes it might be our mom and our dad, or uncle or aunt, or cousin or nephew, whatever, and they believe one way that's not the truth, that goes against the Word of God, and because we won't sell that truth to go along to get along with them, then we end up losing a family member. They fellowshipping with us as our family. They don't want anything to do with us. They'll depart from family fellowships and family get-togethers because of our belief about certain truths. And I'm not going to name a lot of things tonight because we all have different situations in our life. We all have different circumstances and things that we hold to dearly. And if I was to name what was precious to me, then I'd probably skip what is precious to you and vice versa. But we can lose family sometimes because of our stand for the truth. Sometimes pleasure. We still have this flesh. And this flesh still has appetites of the world. And we're not to love the world, neither the things of the world. And we're sometimes, if we're going to believe the truth of what God says, to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, love not the world, neither the things of the world. And if we practice that, sometimes it'll cost us some pleasures. We're down here in beautiful, sunny Florida. And how beautiful weather the Lord's given us during this time. And you can just drive around and enjoy the culture and the scenery, the sun and the sand. And I started to say the surf, but maybe not the surf. Because to enjoy the surf, you got to go down to the beach. And that might not be a good place to go during the hot weather because there's things there that you ought not to enjoy. You're going to see things there that is not good for the flesh and not profitable for the flesh. And so we might like to go to the beach and we might like to go out wading in the tide and enjoy that thing. Because of the circumstances, because of what is going to be there that is going to influence our eyes, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and on the sight of the eyes, the things that we see and take in, I'd like to go down there, but it's really not going to be good for me. It's not going to be good for my love for Christ and my withstanding temptation. And so sometimes there might be pleasures that we would enjoy doing, going into certain places that the world goes to and but yet it's not fitting for us to go in there as a Christian. It's not a good testimony. We're to avoid all appearances of evil and evil companions, corrupt good values, good morals. So we have to sometimes turn away from some of those things. So it could cost you pleasure. Sometimes it'll cost you fellowship with other churches. That's a sad thing. But I'm speaking now churches of like faith that believe the truth or have in the past believed the truth. And they once stood for the precious teachings of the Word of God, and we would fellowship with them in a fellowship meeting or maybe in the fellowshipping of granting letters and receiving letters from that church. But we can't do that anymore because they have forsaken the truth. They've turned their back on the truth. And why they did it, it doesn't really matter. It could be for various reasons. It could be for entertainment. It could be for building numbers up in the church or whatever it is, the go along to get along mentality. But we can't fellowship with them anymore because they don't believe these precious truth, the precious truth of God's word, of the sovereignty of God and salvation and the truth of the Lord's church, when it was started and who started it and how to become a member there and how to practice in the church and what to practice in the church when it comes to baptism and the Lord's Supper and all these things that the Bible tells us and it's the absolute truth, and yet many churches have compromised those things for various reasons, and it doesn't matter what it is, we can't fellowship with it anymore. So sometimes because we stand for the truth, we lose fellowship with sister churches that used to be sister churches. Now, I want to say this because we're not to ever be hateful and we're not to ever be mean-spirited about that. We're to be loving and kind and hopefully they will understand. But just to get unity with other churches or family members or friends or whatever it is, just to get unity at the expense of truth never works. And you shouldn't do it because it'll destroy you. The Lord tells us throughout his precious word how precious truth is. Amos 3:3, the prophet says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And that goes into friendships, it goes into marriage, it goes into business, it goes into churches. How can we walk together if we don't agree? If we have different opinions of major teachings of the Word of God, the inerrancy of the Scripture, and all of these kind of things that we could name. You can't walk together if other people don't believe those things. So the first thing is, we're to buy the truth. That means to obtain it, get it. And the second thing we're to do is make sure we don't sell it, not for any price. no matter what is offered, once we get hold of it, hold fast to the truth. Don't let it be slip from your hands because of something that your flesh has an appetite for or that seems to be convenient for us. It's more convenient if we do this. Holding to the truth in our day and time especially is hard because it's against the tide of the world today. The world does not believe. A vast majority, according to surveys of our adults, do not believe in an absolute truth. And even more so, 77% of young people between 18 and 25, it's been said, that they do not hold to the absolute truth. Truth is always relative. Now, that may be true for you, but it's not truth to me. That may work for you, but that don't work for me. Well, that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is written in truth, and it's good for everyone. No matter who you are, what your circumstances, truth is truth. Error is error. They can't mix. And so we're not to sell it for any reason at all. Hundreds of times through the Bible, we find in the Bible the word of truth. We find that word truth mentioned. Sometimes run a little search in the Bible where truth is used and how dogmatic God is about his truth. He doesn't compromise it at all. There are thousands and thousands of religions in the world today. New ones every day are springing up. Christian religions, even. And I hear there's over 100 types of denominations just in the United States alone. All these different denominations, all preaching a variation of their beliefs about the doctrine, about the Bible, what is and is not proper for a Christian to do and believe. And they can't all be right. You can't tell someone to go north and you'll get to this destination and tell someone else to go south and they'll get to the same destination. One of them's not going to get there. They're going to go the wrong way and they're going to suffer the consequences of bad information. And the same thing's true about the Bible. You can't tell people God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that to one person and then tell another person something completely opposite and it both be good. It's not. And one of them's going to fail before God and answer to God because of the bad information that they've received. So a lot of these churches that are growing up and springing up, new ones, I've heard that 5 new churches are growing up I forgot the time period now. I think it was almost every month or something. There's 5 new Christian denominations springing up. And most of the time it's because they're finding some new way, some worldly way to get people in. You know, this didn't work. They basically have thrown this out because that doesn't work, the Holy Word of God. They have found that worldly inventions is how you get people in. You entertain them. You bring them something where they can have fun. And I don't know, you can correct me on this if you know. Now, the Bible tells us to be joyful always, rejoice always. The Bible tells us to be happy. We ought to be happy. Blessed is a man. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his joy, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves do not wither. And this tells us to be blessed. And that word blessed is happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing in the Lord. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says have fun. You know, church is not about fun. It's about truth. It's about doing that which is right. And that should bring joy. And that should bring happiness. But a lot of churches today have sold the truth for fun. They want to have fun. They want to have all kind of activities. I'm not against activities if they're done according to truth. If they're done according to the Word of God. But to compromise the truth and bring in worldly things to make people happy and to make them I feel good, and not to put any type of pressure on them to live a separated and a godly life, that is not what the Bible teaches about truth. So the world is more interested in following after lies than it is truth. Nominal Christians are easily persuaded and swayed to believe lies instead of the truth. One reason is because they don't know truth. They have not read the Bible. And we'll see a little bit of reference to that in a minute. But they haven't studied the Word of God, and so they believe whatever a man tells them. We ought to be like the Bereans over in Acts chapter 17 and 11. We ought to receive the Word of God daily and anxiously, readily receive the word of God, but then go home and search the scriptures and see if those things are so. Just because a man said it don't mean it's right. This is right. It don't matter what man is saying if it's not according to this, if it's not in line with this. So always double check with the scriptures about those things. Where does untruthfulness begin? Oh, it's out there. We run into it every day in worldly situations. We run into it even in church situations. We come into places where there is error being taught in churches. You have to be baptized to be saved, or you got to live a good life, or you got to have this, or you got to have that. In other words, you know, to be saved, you got to be a church member. Where we know that the way you're saved is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through repentance and faith in Him and Him alone, in the finished work on the cross of Calvary. So all these other ways can't be true. If that's true, these other ways are not. They're error. They're lies. And so where do they come from? Well, look at the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 44. Well, let's just look at, let's just start with 42 here, please. He says, Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. And if God is our Heavenly Father, we're going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just all there is to it. There's no exception. Verse 43 says, Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. It's not that they won't only hear it. They can't hear it because they're not His children. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and until they've been quickened and made alive, they can't understand the things of God. But they understand their Father's words. And that's the next verse, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And how many times does that happen today in the Lord's churches when a pastor who called of the Lord and studied and prayed and stands up in a pulpit and he preaches the word of God and he preaches it as it is the word of God, the very word of God and not the word of men, and the people won't receive it, even though he's telling them the truth. And they can follow it word for word in the Bible, but they will not accept it as being from God. So untruthfulness comes from the devil. Where does that lead you? Where does falsehoods lead you? It'll lead you away from God. Truth will cause you to draw near to God, and the lies and the lies of the devil will cause you to run away from God. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll begin reading verse 13. He says here, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt and convincing and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and the justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and is displeased, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. So you notice here that truth has fallen in the street, and the people have turned away from God. When you don't believe the truth, you'll eventually end up drifting away from God, running away from God, getting further and further away from God. Look at 2 Timothy for a moment, chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4 says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And people don't want sound doctrine today. They want to be entertained. They want to go to church and feel good and have a tingle up their spine, but they don't want some boring preacher standing up there preaching doctrine. Well, number one, they've got a misunderstanding, because the Bible is doctrine. That's what doctrine is. It's the Word of God. And it says here that there will be a time when they turn away from sound or truthful doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn what? Unto fables. They'll turn away their truth, ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So they turn away from truth, but they'll believe a lie. They'll believe some made-up fairy tale about some fun time in church or whatever it might be, because they forsake the truth. They sold the truth out, and people aren't hearing it any longer, and that's what happens when that becomes the case. Somebody wrote this. I don't know who. I can't remember where I found it. But it says, it is better to be divided by truth than to be united by error. That's true. It's better to be divided by truth than it is to be united by error. If truth divides us, that's what should happen. If error comes in, it shouldn't unite us. That should divide us. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts then kills. Truth will heal you. Falsehood will kill you. That's the difference. It's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. It's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Isn't that true? You should be hated. Now, tell me, does the world hate us today because we tell them the truth? Do they hate us because we tell them the truth about marriage, that God has a purpose and a design for marriage, one man to one woman for one life? Does the world hate us today because we tell them the truth about abortion, the killing of an innocent child? Sure they do. They hate us for those things. We're telling them those things which are good and godly and beneficial to mankind, and they hate us for doing that. It is better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. And that's true. People may grow churches by telling lies and forsaking the truth, but it'll be temporary. But telling the truth will eventually bring a blessing in God. Buy the truth and sell it not. What is truth? Isn't that an interesting question? I bet it's going through your mind right now. I bet you're thinking, well, you know, preacher, what is truth? And so it's a hard thing to define. And they asked somebody much smarter than me that question. Go over to the book of John, chapter 18, if you will. John chapter 18, the Gospel of John, and let's look at verse 37, and you'll know the backdrop to this story. As soon as we get in there, you'll understand what it's talking about. But John 18, 37 and 38, it says here, if I can find it, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou the king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto what? The truth. He came to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. If you believe the truth and if you hold to the truth, then you will believe what Jesus is saying and you will hear what he's saying. But when you deny the truth, you're not going to hear what he's saying. You're not going to understand. He goes on down a little further. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all with this man. I find no fault with him. But what is truth? And most people believe that truth is relative to what you want it to be. Whatever is true to you. If you like doing something and you enjoy it and the Bible says you shouldn't, but somebody else says you should, you'll believe that they're the one that's got the truth because you want to do what they're telling you. If the Bible says that you shouldn't do this and somebody says you should do it, you'll believe the one that says you should do it because you want to do it. It's in your flesh. And you'll say there's no absolute truth at all. Truth is whatever you believe. Do you believe that? Do you believe whatever you believe is true? You know, Do you ever tell your kids not to touch that stove because if they do, it'll burn them? And the kid's thinking to themselves, I don't believe that. And they touch the stove. Well, what happens? It burns them. Because the truth is, it will burn them. But they didn't believe it. They made a choice, and they suffered the consequences. In a greater scale than that, that's what we do. God tells us, if you do this, it'll burn you. It'll come back to haunt you. It'll hurt you. It may even hurt your family to the second and third generation if you do this. But we say, I don't believe it. And we do it, and it comes back to haunt us. It comes back to attack us. So the truth is what you want to believe. There's no such thing as an absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. How can you know what that is if there was? Well, that's pretty simple to know. You run to the author of the absolute truth, God. God is the author of absolute truth. If you want to know what is the absolute truth about any subject, go to the book. That you'll find the absolute truth. Now, it may be hard to interpret at times and comprehend, but the more you read it, the more you hear it, faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the more you do that, the more that truth will jump out at you. It's kind of like putting a puzzle together. When you put a puzzle together, a thousand-piece puzzle, and you take it and you look for the corner pieces first, because that's the easiest, right? You only got four corners, so you don't have a lot of choices. So you find your four corners and you establish them, and then you look for the border, because the border's got one flat line. And so that kind of eliminates a little bit having to choose too many different pieces. And then gradually you begin to work into the puzzle. You find a piece, and it doesn't seem to fit. You try it. You don't make it fit. You don't hit it with your hand and force it in. The little ears and the little notches don't work. Well, maybe you do that. I don't know. But you know, what do you do with it? You set it aside. You just take that piece that don't fit yet, even though it looks ever so close, and you set it aside. If you force that piece in, eventually, it's going to distort the picture. When you get the rest of it done, well, that don't look right. What happened? Well, you forced a saying or an action in there that wasn't supposed to be, and so it distorts the picture that was supposed to be there. So what you do until that time, you set that piece aside. And then as you put the puzzle together, lo and behold, guess what happens? That piece falls exactly in the place, and the picture is perfect. That's the way the truth is. Sometimes you'll come to an area that sounds, if it bothers you, you don't understand it. You have a hard time accepting it. Hey, I don't want to listen to that guy. But that's what it is. If you just take that difficult area of Scripture that is confusing to you, and you put that aside for a while. One of my pastors used to say, pigeonhole that in the back of your mind. And then as you study and read and put the other pieces together of God's word, all of a sudden you'll need that piece. I remember where I put that. And you bring that piece in and it fits in perfectly. That truth complements the rest of what you've already done to fit there. And you finally found where it's supposed to be. And that's what you need to do with that. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. It seems right. Seems good. And you've probably been there. I've been there. We do something in secular or in the realm of God's work. And we think, well, that seems right. But if it's not God's way, it's the way of destruction or the way of death. Judges 21:25 said, in those days when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. That means when there was no foundation, no ruler to point to the right thing. And when you don't have truth, that's what happens. You don't have someone to guide you. Well, we have someone to guide us, the Word of God. When you come to a place, a doctrine, a teaching, whatever it is, go to the book. Study it. Look it up. Pray and ask God, Lord, show me this. Is this what you would have me to do or not to do? But everybody can't be right in their own mind. Everybody can't do it the way. One says that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. Another says Allah is God. One says that a Buddha is God. And one says that Tao is God or Confucius. Or everyone has an opinion. They can't all be the sovereign God of heaven. They can't all be the creator of the universe. Only one can. Well, which one is it? It's the one that this Bible tells us about. The Lord God in heaven. The absolute truth of God's word. It's the only game in town, if you will. So what is truth? Well, truth is the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. That's the truth. No man can come to the Father except he draw him. That's the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 14:6, Ephesians 4:25, John 1:14-17, Jesus declares himself to be the truth. He is the very essence of truth. Also, the Word of God is true. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is truth. You want the truth about a subject? Go to the book. Go to the book and search there. You know, any subject. You say, well, that can't be true. Can I learn how to put a car engine together in the Bible? Well, it might not precisely tell you how to put a car engine together, but it'll tell you a lot about patience and planning and purpose and different things of that nature that will help you in your endeavor to do that. But the Bible has an answer for everything. The Bible is truth. Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which means righteous living, so that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the truth, the Word of God. It will equip us and furnish us with everything we need to do. The Bible tells us that God is truth in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. It says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity or error, if you will. Just and right is he. The Holy Spirit is truth, John 16. When the Spirit shall come, he will guide us to all truth. All those things that the Lord's taught, the Holy Spirit will guide you to those things. We have to be careful not to exchange the truth for the lies of men. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 says, these change the truth of God to a lie and worship and serve the Creator, the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What's that talking about? Well, if you go over there and read that, it's talking about the sin of homosexuality. It's talking about gay marriage and all those things. That's a lie. And he says they're turning God's truth into a lie. And we're not to do that. We're not to exchange the truth of God for man's lie. God is truth. We're to know the truth. The Bible tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto who? The pastor? Nah. That's good, but that's not what God says the primary thing. Should we show ourselves approved unto our husbands, our wives, our family? No. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to rightly divide it. It's not of any private interpretation, the Bible tells us. 1 Peter tells us we obey the truth. 2 John tells us we're to live in the truth. The psalmist says, teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. If it's your way, it's the truth, and I'll walk in it. It's what he's saying there. And I'll walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear or to reverence thy name. Now, where does this great treasure that's of great value, where is it stored up? Where is it to be stored up? Where can we guard it and protect it from being destroyed by the world and by Satan and his henchmen? Where can that place be? Well, the Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15.